Lime, duh. Yeah.
Damn,
bonus Paramore. Podcast.
I love Paramore.
What up, everybody? Coming at you late on Friday. It's the Comedians of Wrestling bonus podcast, but not on the Patreon, baby. Free here on the main feed. Woo! Wow. What up, everybody? Look, wrestling is getting spicy, and we had a lot to say. So you know what? We are coming in, me and the Supermark Nick Tulo. Normally, we do this bonus podcast on the Patreon, behind the paywall for the patrons, right? But I figure as a special preview and as a little taste for the non-patrons, we're giving you a little preview of our AEW NXT-centric podcast that we do.
Wow.
So maybe you consider, if you're having a good time, if you've listened to all three or four podcasts Cal has put out this week, consider giving us a couple bucks, literally $5 a month, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. That's nothing. Skip one coffee and support your local indie wrestling podcast. Are we indie wrestlers? Yeah, I consider this podcast an indie wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Anyway, Tulo and I were texting back and forth about wrestling, and I was like, you know what? Let's just take it to the mics, because what 2020 is. Mic it out. So, Tulo, welcome to the show. The Comedians of Wrestling.
Thanks.
Cal, Money in the Bank holder, briefcase.
Correct.
Which we haven't seen that briefcase in a while.
Yeah, I got it in a safe location.
But anyway, so we put out our podcast, our bonus episode this week a little early. Mm-hmm. And the schedule for AEW and NXT is kind of all over the map right now. NXT this week
all over
was
place.
On Wednesday, but we'll be airing on Tuesday next week with a huge match, which we'll discuss probably first.
Probably.
And then also AEW this week was on Saturday last week and was on Thursday this week. Anyway, Tulo, let's get into it. Before we do, let's kick it off nice.
Ooh. Wow, what flavor is that?
Lime, duh. I'm in a little lime LaCroix.
And he's pouring it into a glass. Wow, good for you, man.
Yeah, because I like it extra cold with some ice. But look, a lime, a lime-colored glass.
A glass, it's very nice.
It's the only way to drink a lime LaCroix. If you're going to transport it from the gorgeous can over to a cup, the only goblet of fire is a goblet of lime desire. And
wow, that looks delicious.
It is delicious. It's refreshing.
Good for you.
Oh, I also have a hot oat milk latte right in front of me.
I'm drinking a Truly hard seltzer, watermelon, and kiwi. I don't like Truly. I think they're trash, but it's all I got left. So desperate time call for desperate measures.
Well,
got to take the edge
trash,
off a little.
Let's. I mean, you have to. You need to. And by taking off the edge, in my book, is what I do is I turn on the edge by drinking caffeine.
Okay.
All right, Tulo. Huge announcement on NXT this week.
Yeah.
I came in hot on the Facebook page. And by the way, as we always do in these bonus episodes, I take it to the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook group where you talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning. And I post questions and answer your questions in between our points here. So anyway, the champion of NXT fell and prayed to his own devices. The champion had to relinquish his title. Apparently got injured during that match with Keith Lee. So I want to also say on our last episode, we didn't enjoy that match. So I didn't think his wrestling was great. I wonder how injured he was during that whole match.
True. Yeah, and I'm not really sure when it happened in the match, right? I don't specifically know when it actually happened. Kudos to him if it happened early on and he tried to tough it out the whole entire way and still ended up winning against a guy that you literally need every inch of strength that you have in your body to wrestle.
Slam. I mean,
yeah.
Because if his shoulder sounds like his shoulder was separated, right? That injury makes it really hard to pick a dude up who's 400 pounds. Like, Keith Lee is probably close to 400 pounds, right?
I'm not even sure what his official weight is. Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, easily.
Big boy. But it is interesting because he still came out and he was pushing the Doomsday promo. And I want to see this. I thought his promo was really good on NXT. I thought he delivered it great. I liked him in the suit. Like, I thought that it kind of gave that more of a it toned down some of the spooky boyness, right? Some of the supernatural elements, if you will, of his character. And more of a guy. But it is interesting. He still said TikTok, which you know how I feel about saying TikTok. It's the equivalent TikTok to me of if his catchphrase was, "You're going in the Facebook. I'm going to take your face and put it in my book. You're going in the Facebook." Right? You're going in the Facebook. Oh, man. But, instantly, with my powers, I will crush you and your full weight into only a gram. You will be an Instagram. an Insta. All right. Anyway.
You got me good with that.
Yeah. You'll be too. All right.
So see, now
bird.
To everybody.
You're
going to
wish you were a little
kinda
bird too low. When you wrestle me, you're going to wish you were a little bird. You can fly away. You'll be tweet. Tweet.
Twitter.
I will snap chat you to death.
See, this is the stuff you pay for on the Patreon.
Yeah,
listen, we're letting it fly. You know, this is the kind of content that you are like, all right, these guys deserve it. Yeah, exactly.
I know that's you. You're being a little salty. By the way, so anyway, I did think his promo was nice. I did think, like, they did – the writing was good for Karrion Kross's promo saying, look, they're not going to let me wrestle, you know, but I'll be back. Doomsday will come back, and it's always about the climb, coming back. Fine, it was okay. But it is funny because it is the guy who's like, oh, your day is over. Then, like, he relinquishes his title injured wearing a sling, like a dainty little sling, and then Keith Lee gets to show up on Raw completely fine, no injury, and wrestle Randy Orton on Raw and on the pay-per-view. So that my beef is less about Karrion Kross, even though I'm not a huge mark for Karrion Kross. You go in the Facebook. But is my beef is more with WWE's lack of continuity between these two shows, which serves no purpose. Like, Keith Lee should come up and should have some kind of sign of being, like, injured, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I understand why Vince wouldn't want to do that, because a lot, you know, all the Raw viewers are not all watching NXT. It's just true. It's half of the viewers of NXT and Raw, right?
Right.
About the number.
It's even less, and it's probably even less than that.
So you wouldn't do it, but it's just, I don't know, it's always kind of, like, annoying to me because, not because they can't be two shows in different vacuums, but because they do these invasion angles, and sometimes they acknowledge that they're in the same world.
Not only is there no continuity, but they literally tried to, like, just change the dude completely who he was. New music and new gear. He had no resemblance, shaved his beard. I mean, there's to speak about a lack of continuity. Now, see, this is my best point about it. It's like, let me explain a little something to you, Dan. I'm going to go off the cuff here a little bit.
Okay. Wow.
I'll
take a couple sips of the latte.
Yeah.
Take the wheel.
I don't think anybody calls it more down the line than us. When something's good, we're going to let you know. But when something sucks, we're going to let you know. And we may not always agree, because sometimes you think something's great and I think it sucks. But there's no imbalance here. We love wrestling. We love AEW just as much as we love WWE. And when WWE is firing, we're going to let you know. And when AEW sucks,
we're great. You're basically saying we're great.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I mean, hold on. We're just going to give a second to celebrate ourselves.
Yeah. But you know what? Cheers up.
Yeah. That both of us did. Okay. All right.
I'm a little fired up because we're sitting here and we're like really criticizing Karrion Kross. I mean, you went off on Karrion. If you haven't listened, you should listen to the bonus episode. I mean, this guy laid into this dude. Like, but not because he doesn't think he's any good, but because if you're going to get this push and if you're going to get this spotlight, man, you got to be better. We got to know why. And it's so funny because then we look at Scarlett. Now I'm going all over the place, but we look at Scarlett holding that title, and I'm like, for a second in my mind, I'm like, wow, okay, we're on to something here because I said it.
Right.
She should hold the title. She should be the empress that sits on the throne and holds the title, and she's the queen, you know. And this guy is just the guy that carries out the deeds of the sinning, right?
The empress of yesteryear.
Right. So to get onto my point is that I'm tired of people coming at me when I say something like, Matt Jackson shaved his beard. He went back to his sideburns. And I looked at him and said, fuck the Young Bucks. These guys fucking suck. I'm getting bored of them. I can't believe he thinks rolling out there with those sideburns is a good idea. And I'm going to let you know. I'm also going to let you know that when the Young Bucks have a match backstage, like all over the place against Butcher and the Blade, and it's fire, and I'm like, yo, AEW's must watch. You can't miss it. I'm going to let you know about that too. So don't come at me, okay?
Tula, what happened? Fill me in. You said you were upset Jackson shaved his beard.
Yeah, because I said Matt Jackson with a beard, love him. Matt Jackson without a beard, I fucking hate him. I don't want anything to do with him.
And this is the kind of minutiae that I applaud. This is the kind of markiness that we need.
Matt Jackson with a beard trending to one of my guys' territory.
Wow.
Matt Jackson, sideburns. Did you see those sideburns? Did you see those
sideburns? I love Matt. We've talked about this before. I like Matt Jackson's sideburns.
You liked him when he was looking at Hangman in his eyes and said, and was like, because he had the sideburns, he sounded like this now. You know what? You're out of the elite. Like, ugh.
No, I actually got to be honest. I don't like the elite. I love the wrestlers of the elite. I like the concept of the elite. But what I don't like is the elite being mentioned in AEW because they have not effectively sold what the elite is on the show.
Well, spoiler alert, it's nothing. Okay. It's literally nothing. What is it anymore?
It's an internet, it's a YouTube show, right? So like those are the members of that YouTube show, right? But it's not even clear. It's not clear in the show what the elite is, you know?
Like if I was the elite, man, why would you
guys
want to be
who
in the
own the company? Like the presidents, vice presidents, is it that? Or the elite is the, because you also have Cody who has the Nightmare Family, but then there's also the elite. So it's kind of like, what exactly is it? You know, like if this were Game of Thrones, you'd be like, what family is this? Where are they from?
Yeah.
What is it? Like, again, the concept of the elite, it's kind of like a little persnickety, a little pretentious, a little too indie for me that they assume that you, the viewer, know what they're talking about when they're talking about the elite.
And
it's not clear
the marks,
for the new viewer.
And only people who get it and like it are the marks. So they'll defend it. And they'll die on the hill, making you try to believe that this is good stuff. When I'm just watching it, and I'm like, it's not good. I get why people can be fans of it, but what they're doing isn't so revolutionary that you don't tune in to Thunderdome when it debuts. Because if you're a wrestling fan, you should be tuning in to watch Thunderdome, okay? I don't care. I don't think you can hate WWE that much. Like,
Tula, I need
unless
to be more specific. So are people telling you, like, are you talking about just the hardcore AEW marks? Like the
and
marks?
Vice versa, the hardcore WWE marks.
Right.
Those people, I don't think I'll ever be able to relate to. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get how you always need justification, or
taking umbrage with exactly. Are you taking umbrage with? I want to.
I'm taking umbrage with the fans that come at me. Okay.
Are you saying if you have too much? I think what you're circling about is that you don't like when people have reckless allegiance.
Yes.
Right? Like where you just have like, oh, no matter what, this is one of my guys, and I'm going to turn whatever they do is cool. I will defend them no matter what. You like, and that's what you're giving us credit for too, is the fact that like sometimes we just tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Was it good? Was it not good? Regardless of the fact that like we like this product more than that product currently.
Correct.
We're always looking to swing the pendulum based on which show is performing better.
And the perfect example, and that's exactly it. And the perfect example was I was running the NXT threads.
Right.
I was Team NXT for a long time.
Right. But
then all of a sudden, AEW swung in this direction where it was so highly entertaining and so fucking awesome that I was like, I mean, NXT quarantine wasn't any good for a while.
Right.
And I was just like, all right. I could do that because my fandom lies in my passion and love for wrestling. So I could be like, hey, Susan, you're the NXT mark. Please take over the threads because I don't want to be running an NXT thread when I'm not watching live when I can watch AEW. And I'm comfortable enough to be like, say now, the last 4 weeks of AEW, which I honestly think haven't really been anything worth that great and entertaining.
Right.
I can now look at this week's episode of NXT and be like, yo, NXT may be back. I mean, over the course of 1 week. And it's crazy to say, but that's how good it was.
Shirt on.
Psycho Killer, baby. Jack Mills got me this.
So, okay. So interesting. So, okay, I got it. Right. It is frustrating when some fans are just die hard for their product and not acknowledging this was good, this was not good. That being said, I don't think NXT as a show right now is anywhere near AEW in terms for me yet.
And
now,
Dan, and that's great. And I'm happy you feel that way.
Can I tell you
I
a
don't
couple
feel
reasons
that
why?
Yeah.
Like this week, AEW, yes, as a show, I don't think they're having killer segments like they had last month, right? But I do think like this past week that Brody Lee Cody thing was great. And also, they brought the fans back into the crowd, and they were singing Jericho's theme song. And it's outside. They're socially distanced. They have 10% capacity of the place, which I think is fine, you know, personally. Yep. Like I couldn't agree more on that.
Yeah, I would probably go. I mean, if I could wear a mask and be away from everybody, absolutely.
Yeah, and they probably have different entrances and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. They needed to do something this week, and they found – the fans, and that was huge because it did help wrestlers. Like I said, and I said it last week, was Mox was getting boring for me real fast.
Well, yeah,
I was seeing a lot of Dean Ambrose coming through Mox recently, and I'm like, uh-oh. And then all of a sudden he comes through the crowd and the fans are there, and I'm like, okay.
Couldn't agree more because they love him. That's the thing. That's why I thought Moxley was great this week. On AEW.
What'd he say?
Dickwad. He called somebody a dickwad, which is fucking great. And then he called Wardlow Flex Magazine, which I thought was funny. I thought that was funny. A guy who Dean Ambrose, by the way, if you're talking about how we call it down the line, no one said Dean Ambrose was less funny than me. I thought he was so unfunny. But this time he's making me laugh. But what I'm saying is you're right about the fans is that they have the fans back in there because they have the outside arena. And we've seen this NXT PC to death, that studio.
Uh-huh.
So you saw the crowd going nuts for Moxley. They adore him. Right. And that's where a lot of his charisma comes from, is when he comes down from that crowd, everybody's into it. So
it
reminded me why he's the champ.
You know? So now let's take a step back from this, right?
How many steps? And one or two?
It's kind of like three almost.
Three steps back.
It's not really three steps back, but so one, two, three.
All right, I'm locked in.
So look what happened over the course of 1 week in wrestling. We got the Thunderdome.
Yeah, which is, I love the Thunderdome.
We got NXT also made some changes back to in Full Sail to make it cooler. Give me one second. Come with me.
Yeah,
so we got the Thunderdome.
More back to the NXT show.
Yeah, so NXT got its feel back. And then we got AEW had fans. So everything that needed to happen for each show happened, right? I think Raw and SmackDown needed to feel more. It was fucking up NXT by being in a similar environment,
right?
And then NXT got to go back to its roots and where it was felt a little more underground and little more special. And right. AEW got back what it needed the most, which was the fans. Because honestly, like, man, we're talking about how many 8-man tag matches are we going to see in AEW right now? I mean, there's literally two a show. They're already advertising for two next week.
Yeah, I mean.
It's like after a while, what are we watching? It's just the same stuff. Nothing's really progressing. I understand there's the minutia in the storylines and stuff, but this is a show that's like severely lacking star quality. You know,
feel AEW? Like
yeah, they're stuck in this like what's next for Mox? You know, right? What's next for John Moxley if he beats MJF? Who's up? Is it going to be the fallout from Kenny and Hangman? If it's not, really, who has Mox wrestled that really has been overly entertaining? You know, I mean.
Well, we'll see. It is interesting. I actually agree with you. I don't know exactly where you go. I think Moxley should beat MJF. I don't think MJF should beat Moxley. I think it's good for his character to lose. MJF doesn't need that title yet. When you put it on him, it should be a bigger deal. But I don't. When you get Moxley next, I'm not exactly sure where you go in terms of a. You know, there's matches to be had, but in terms of actual guy who could take the title from him, a legit contender, I would say that's why you need. To build Kenny up, right? I mean,
right. And they're seriously lacking in a lot of those. I feel like those storylines. It's just like I don't really feel like there's a lot of shit going on, but I don't really know what it is that's going on in AEW right now. It just feels like it's all over the place, and it feels like I mean, I'm looking at the All Out card, and I'm like, what am I really invested in for AEW? You know, I think the biggest match I'm going to be like super stoked for is going to be FTR versus Hangman and Kenny just because there's so much involved in that match. But I mean, I'm not. And Cheetah versus.
I think one issue that AEW has is that now they've pushed. Now they've pushed the Dark Order into a serious zone. Yeah. And I liked Dark Order when they were kind of inconsequential, but if you're gonna treat Dark Order like they're really working, they need to work a lot better. Like I need to understand exactly what their deal is within the organization. Like how are they like a thorn in the side of the whole place? You know, because right now it seems like they just recruit people, they just like give them a pamphlet and a hug. But before it used to be like. Brody Lee was like pretty abusive to these guys. It would be like a guy who was like, got it. Remember, Ten came in and he has a Heisman injury. You know what I mean? And like his girlfriend broke up with him. It's like Project Mayhem. Guys are down on their luck. Incels. Now it's just like a group who are terrorizing what? I guess Cody because he's like the owner, but he's not really a management role. So how are they? My point is that with Fiend firing on all cylinders, it makes the Dark Order look like way more jabroni.
Yeah, and it's it's okay to compare those two. Like that's what you're supposed to do in these kind of situations. You look for other things. When it was just WWE,
man,
it was easy to hate on WWE because there was nothing to compare it to. Now you have options. There's things to look at. So like it's easy to see those parallels. Just like the women's division, like. I'm looking at AEW. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, I'm getting 4 to 5 minutes of women's wrestling, and NXT, Raw, and SmackDown give you 2 to 3 matches on each show. I mean, multiple women are being displayed.
Yeah, and well, I'll say this though, also, but the women wrestling on AEW, I get why they don't put a lot of it on TV, because a lot of it I'm not that interested in. Whereas NXT, they've set up their women for success and main roster where you do want to see it.
But
you know?
This is a huge fucking problem, though.
I barely know who that is, and she has a title shot in like a week. You know,
she's the NWA Women's Champion, right? And I only know her just because of just knowing about wrestling in general. But I watched NWA a couple times and I saw her on it.
Right.
But like, if you didn't do that, the build up to that match means absolutely nothing for you. Only that it's the NWA champion versus the AEW Women's Champion, and you have not done enough for your AEW Women's Champion to make it feel that important against of a match. You know, so it's on them, man. I mean, they can't be like, listen, we don't need all these 8-man tag matches. Use the time effectively, Danny. Use the time effectively to start building your women's division. I understand these women are professional wrestlers. This is a professional wrestling event. If they didn't belong there, they wouldn't have been signed and be there. So if you don't trust in them and you don't believe in them, then you're not, you don't have a women's division. Like,
we have
these women should be out there.
Sorry, that was Tony Khan. Apologizing. No, no, I know what you're saying. I want to make sure we get to the questions people gave, because some of the stuff will tie into that anyway. I am reminded that a Fiend is the champion again, Universal Champion. You're like, why did he ever drop that title? You know? I mean, it's fine. It worked out okay. Actually, the writing of Fiend is some of the better stuff that WWE has done. And that's probably feels like because they allow the talent in. But anyway, all right, that's a question. Here we go. All right. okay. Lance Archer? ? This is from Shammy Nolan.
That's it.
That's Lance Hoyt. You're not gonna inception that shitty tramp stamp away from me. He's a Hot Topic Brock Lesnar. Nice hair, juggalo. Disgust.
God. Damn, who's that from?
Shammy Nolan. I don't know. Shammy Nolan's somebody new. From there. What, was there anything offensive in there? I don't think so. Right?
No, I mean that's no. Wow.
All right, you looked at me like I was like a racial slur in there.
No.
He called him a juggalo. So here's the deal about Lance Hoyt. Couple things. I do follow Lance Hoyt, who is Lance Archer, who's not Damian Priest. it's Archer, the Archer of yesteryear year.
Yeah.
And the Swamp of Destiny. But so, I if you follow Lance Hoyt on Instagram, he kind of seems just like a really cool uncle.
Yeah.
And that always distracts me. Like, when you're like I don't know, these wrestlers' Instagrams, it depends on the talent. But it does affect my view of them, you know? And, like, one guy right now, like, Finn should be using his Instagram to go deeper into whatever he's doing, especially if they're not
– like Aleister Black does,
Right. Like Aleister Black does, where it's, like, cool black and white training videos and stuff. But, yeah, Lance Hoyt, Lance Archer, look, yeah, every time he's in the ring, I look at that back tattoo. Like, I stare at it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has
a
blob of black ink towards like on his like above his ass, you know, and I think it's like a graveyard.
It's the three crosses. It's like Christ, like on the cross, like scenario on the hills.
I don't even know any. I'm like, oh, it looks like a graveyard.
Yeah, it's just Jesus being crucified. No big deal.
I heard that was a big deal, but yeah. Are you? So I guess the question really is disgust. I still like him.
I can't not like what he's doing. Him and Jake are just so entertaining.
Awesome.
I kind of popped for Cage coming out. And I'm like, all right, here we go. FTW.
Yeah,
this makes sense.
Huge
Ricky Starks looks amazing. The way he flopped out of those fucking loafers when fucking Darby came in.
Oh, that was great. Yo, Ricky Starks, is he – he's like The Rock before he went into the Captain America machine?
Yeah, for sure. I'm loving it. It's so
he's
good. What was that belly
Rock.
Chain? Did he have a belly chain on? What was that?
I think
so. A belt chain? What are those? What is that? What kind of accessory is that?
It was hot, baby. It was sexy.
Lean. baby, lean into that kind of stuff more. I see that's the part of AEW I like the best.
Like they said his name and he was like,
Ricky Starks. What's up? That's the kind of shit I like. See, like I don't, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that like they're getting, you can almost, it's so fucking obvious that they're so geared towards these demographics that they're like, that they love the 8-man tag matches with all the spots. They love it. We got to do more of those, more of those, more of those. And it's like you're dragging some crazy story. Nah, I want Lance fucking Archer of yesteryear coming down, punching people in the face and beating the shit out of dudes. It's always entertaining. And keep extending those kind of stuff. More of that. Your roster is huge. It doesn't always have to be the big names. The big names don't always need to be on TV. Those guys should show up less often and to make their storylines. And that's where when they were thriving and everything was firing all cylinders, it was a really good blend of a lot of awesome stuff happening. And the storylines just feel out of touch almost. Got that sound drop?
I don't have that anymore.
Wow.
Of course I have it. Tulo, Josh Timperley asks, should the Dark Order get Slipknot-style masks?
Something else.
Absolutely. Slipknot might be like a little extreme, but fuck it. I would pop for it. The Dark Order needs to be more of a presence.
Yeah, give me a guy with a bigger chin on his mask and maybe a funny nose.
Like, they should be more of a presence because now they're starting to really, really dominate and take over the show. Right now they look shittier. They look like Retribution. Is it Retribution is the Dark Order?
I would pop hard.
That would be the biggest, coolest moment in wrestling history, right?
1,000%.
They took this shitty Retribution angle. By the way, can we just take a Retribution thing for a second?
Yeah.
Is there any satisfying reveal for Retribution? Any?
No. The only thing is that it literally has to be like NXT and led by Triple H, and it's
right.
Gotta
so
be
if
detailed.
But that'll be fine. I'm always into that NXT invasion. Yeah. That's fine. It always works for me if it's done right.
Yeah.
But that won't be like very satisfying reveal because we're ahead of that. Is there anything that they could do where you would just go like, wow, that was fucking awesome. They worked me.
Yeah, it would have to be like Roman doing something crazy. Like Roman. killing somebody. And it's him like getting retribution. I don't know what for, but like, you know, tearing the company down for making him into what he is, you know?
Actually, it might be pretty cool if Retribution comes out one time and then like a Roman like literally like kills all of them. Like then he takes their mask off, but they're just straight up like dead. And you're like, it was NXT, but Roman killed them. You know what I mean? Like it almost doesn't get started. They use it as a way to make somebody else look super strong.
I don't know. I'm just even saying Roman like leading Retribution or something crazy, you know, like, yeah.
The problem with all these shows right now, like, I say the same thing, and NXT, I think AEW's falling into it also, and I think it's part of your frustration, and actually I think it's where NXT is starting to get better, is structure of show. Like, Regal coming out and announcing that four-way match made it feel like a big deal. They show a shot of the council, and they literally call them the NXT Advisory Council. Right?
Wow.
Those are the exact words, and they showed, like, they showed a shot up from the ground floor up through the glass into the office, and it was Matt Bloom, Sean, Triple H,
Sean double, and Sean Regal. Double glasses, sunglasses on top of the head, reading glasses on, ready to rock.
And you know they're talking like, "What do we do here, man?
Yeah,
Karrion Kross is hurt. What do we do?" And you're like, "Oh, it gives the show so much structure. It does so much." Now, if you look at Raw, right? It's cool. I love the Underground. We all dig the Underground. I think. I mean, it's a little silly, but Shane's just kind of doing it in like a vacuum. It's cool if it's rubbing management the wrong way.
Right,
and it's
yeah,
Shane,
yeah, yeah.
Like rebel successioning from the family. That's a
yeah.
I'm taking the name of that show and making it a yeah, verb. Yeah. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then you're like, so when the shows don't have any structure. So like right now, if they try to be like Stephanie's in charge of retribution, yeah. it won't work because we don't have enough of knowing Vince is in charge in terms of right. kayfabe. We know it shoots, so it always kind of works. But in terms of entertainment and the show, you're not seeing a lot of interaction with management. And that stuff mm-hmm. goes a very long way.
I mean, it instantly put NXT back on the map for me. Just seeing that structure, I'm like, oh, here we go, Regal. Anytime Regal comes out, something always cool is going to happen. Like right. he always makes it awesome. And I'm like, so here's the funny part about that. I misunderstood what he was saying. He said former champs. Right. So my mind didn't even go to the current roster. My mind went to Kevin Owens, Shinsuke. Finn was the other one. And right. like somebody else. I don't know, Big E or something, or Seth. And I thought that was going to be who was going to fight for the fucking NXT title. And I was like, oh, man, imagine if Kevin Owens won.
Right.
And
I thought the last guy they revealed was going to be Kevin Owens or Kevin Owens. I thought maybe Samoa Joe is the guy I thought that there was going to be the guy they put in, or Shinsuke. Those were the two. I thought
it was going to be one of those. Sure, two. Something was happening like that. But then I was like,
SmackDown coming back
to Friday.
It's a Friday.
Wow, that was so long ago. Now SmackDown's actually a. SmackDown is actually going on right now as we're recording.
Yeah, in the Thunderdome, which is dope. Love the Thunderdome. Yeah. Love the Fiend. I love that Fiend's a champion. I wonder if he comes out with the blue title tonight. I'm not watching yet, but I will.
Yeah.
If he comes out with the face title, I might have to make a merchus. all right, hold on. Let's hit another question from the Jabroniacs. Okay. By the way, if you want to ask us questions, we answer questions from the Jabroniacs every week on the pod, on the bonus pod. Mm. The thread is in our Facebook group, and you could post while we're recording, and we read these every Friday morning if you're not a patron. But okay, the responsible cow champion, Dan Black, now mocks a guy for getting hurt and having to relinquish the NXT title. Not my champion. Also, how excited are you guys that Finn is going to be NXT champion again? All right,
who's
so first
that,
part, bro? Not... That's from Jose Gonzalez Morales.
Oh, God.
So the first part is not a question. It's just more of a statement insulting me. And by the way,
obviously.
I just want to clarify that.
Very on brand.
I want to clarify two things. One thing is that Karrion Kross is a big boy. He can handle an insult from me. Okay.
Yeah. I love it.
All right. And if he doesn't like it, then, hey, Karrion Kross, come after me. And your face is going in the book. Facebook. TikTok. TikTok. He can handle it. He's a big boy. But also, my complaint is less about Karrion Kross and less about Keith Lee. It's more about those two shows not working with each other, which annoys me, you know?
Yeah.
which I already brought up that point. Now, the second part is, how excited are you for Finn to be champ? So this is a great segue. So we talked about this already. Regal came out. It's Finn, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, heel Tommaso Ciampa, right? Going back to Vicious.
They all kind of are in that tweener stage. It's like right. four tweeners.
And we'll be having a four-man 60-man Iron Man match.
60-minute.
60-man. They're all 60-man. They're doing a four-man, 60-man Iron Man match gangbang.
All right. Is there anything more certain than Johnny Gargano coming out in some kind of Iron Man cosplay?
Johnny Gargano is just... So not I said, one of my guys. I like his wrestling. I'm actually a fan of him. I loved Johnny Takeover. He was really great at losing to awesomer guys. And I thought he had a chance of being a star playing it like a Daniel Bryan style. But, man, this heel run has made me him giving me the street douche chills.
Yeah.
All the way through. Didn't like it. But, yeah, so anyway, that being said, he'll be good in this match. But 60-minute Iron Man match.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. It's half the show. It's
on a
just
Tuesday.
One match. On next Tuesday, who do you think takes this match? He says you're excited about Finn. Probably Finn. Gun to the head, I do think Finn wins this match. Finn is like right now you need another guy. You probably need somebody for a long reign. Finn's in this in between. Finn is the most big time guy who's not Adam Cole. Ciampa could use to keep working for it. Ciampa needs to keep working for it. Gargano is not at all in the champion zone. That's a recipe for disaster. And yeah. Cole just had it. I mean, I might consider if I was Triple H going back to Cole. You know what I mean? I might consider that, but
I would definitely
especially if he's coming up. I think if Cole is coming up, I would give him the title and I'd have him do both shows. Well, you know?
Listen, here's the thing. I think Finn makes the most sense because he's got the biggest star power, I would say, right?
He makes no sense on that show unless he's the champion.
Right? Yeah, so if he becomes champion, then we get all the great matches. Adam Cole versus Finn. You get Ciampa versus Finn.
Daddy's home.
You just keep going down the list. And all the and then that what
Lance Hoyt, what Finn Lance does, Archer.
Lance Archer of Infamy. what good about Finn being champion is it will draw guys like Shinsuke back, Kevin Owens back.
Yeah.
Who am I missing? Samoa Joe back. I'm on it. Like, they should renew those four guys made NXT. They should renew that back
Shinsuke
in some kind of way.
Is the main guy who needs to go back to NXT. I mean,
you don't like his tag run with Cesaro right now?
Are they the tag champs? I don't even know.
Yeah, they are.
I honestly didn't know. And I kind of knew, but I didn't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I remember seeing that, but I also don't remember that at all. Yeah, okay.
All right, so in that group also, can we talk about how incredible Tommaso Ciampa looked in his fucking undies? I mean, he was looking jacked, too. At first, I wasn't sure. I mean...
Wow, that's you catcalling Ciampa in his undies.
Man, I mean, I clamored for it. Yep, and he's back. I wanted that so bad, and it instantly – he had the mask on. I mean, Ciampa as a heel, I've always said it. Ciampa as a heel is an 8.5. As a face is a 2.1. It's like he instantly comes out and starts being the absolute – I mean, God, thank you, Jake Atlas.
Well, the dumbest thing they ever did was try to swap – yeah, Jake Atlas, props to him for taking that beat down. But – the dumbest thing they ever did was try to switch the roles of Tommaso, of Ciampa and Gargano, right?
They're like, they might have that opportunity. I think they're kind of like foreshadowing it that maybe Johnny will do something to get Tommaso's back, you know?
Right.
And not turn. Like, I think everybody thinks that that will be the main focus is what's going to happen between them. But Johnny will end up helping him out. So.
I think they brought up Matt Riddle too fast. Like, he's obviously deserves to be on the main roster, but Matt Riddle, NXT probably needed Matt Riddle still, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
I have my eyes on Timothy Thatcher. I dig him. I like that his thing is like, I forgot what he said.
He said like, you're the way you present yourself as champion. You don't act as a champion. That's not how a champion acts. And he's like, if you want to find out.
Despises like spot wrestling.
He said
something that made me think he despises we're not old school. He's not doing the revival we're just beat down. We're bruisers, you know.
He's more like bone Tully breaking and Arn or whatever.
He's more like a Matt. He's like a Matt amateur wrestler, you know. Yeah.
He also just lost, so it's kind of wild that he just. Decides he's going to roll up on Damian Priest and be like, going to kill you and I'm going to get try. I want the title, you know?
I kind of like his look because he's like kind of like ugly, right? Yeah. He's got like the shit teeth, but he's also yoked up. You know what I mean? He's kind of like a real man's man.
Steve a real grizzly.
He's
got like a Bob Backlund feel to him. He's got like a Bob Backlund feel to him, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just got my eye on him. He's not on the on deck circle or anything.
No. He's just.
So anyway, what else happened at AEW this week? I mean, I feel like there was not that much that was memorable.
That's what I'm saying.
We didn't talk about MJF segment. So you were texting me. You said you're not feeling this MJF Mox match at all. I would say that this feud between the two of them is one of the weaker heavyweight, maybe the weakest heavyweight feuds we have seen. I felt like MJF is relying on cheap pops, like your wife is hot.
He went back to that. Well,
went back to that, and I think the whole campaign thing died. I think he's back in front of the crowd, so he was really excited to heel out on them, so that was good. I like that he's trying to get rid of the move,
paradigm shift. Yeah,
I like that. I like that, but I think I kind of thought Moxley was gonna just say no.
Yeah.
Like, no, then you just won't get your match. I kind of thought Moxley was going to be like, no. But then he was like, oh, it's ways for me to be creative. So it is cool that you know Moxley's going to win, but he's going to have to win with a different move. So I don't love the, like, I wasn't like, the lawyer thing. It wasn't really, like, working for me. But how it will execute in the match, I think is going to be satisfying.
Well, you got to think that MJF will use the paradigm shift on Mox, right?
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
I mean, you got to think that's going to happen.
Right.
To be honest with you, the best
Moxley being like, look what I put slipped into the contract. I hate it.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah. I got real Dean Ambrose vibes this week. It keeps creeping out, man. It's like he was in
the
jeans.
Same guy, Tulo.
Yeah. The leather jacket. I know, but like, you know, people will talk about, oh, Roman came back after 6 months and it's still Roman Reigns. Like, there's nothing different about him. Same old shit. I really am not seeing a huge difference.
No, what are you talking about? He had huge pearly whites.
I know.
He had 10 more pounds of teeth. What are you talking about? 10 more pounds of beef. Yeah, like 30 pounds of beef and 10 pounds of teeth.
So yes, and it's sponsored by Southern New Hampshire University.
Well, actually, I'm not going to give Roman. I think Roman looked really good at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Like, he looked awesome, and his spear was dope. So it actually made me, to be honest, when I was thinking about Payback, I was like, I'm excited to see Roman wrestle.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to go away very fast. I'm not a fan. By the way, I guess I'm veering off topic here, but that's not what we do. It's all we do.
Yeah.
I want to veer off topic here because Tulo, frankly, you're boring me. But let me tell you.
This. Wow.
All right. That was a little MJF work. Someone was giving me shit. I post all of our Zoom videos to YouTube. You can check them out. If you want to watch the video, you listen to the pod, but you're more of a visual learner and you want to see the beautiful inside.
Because we're teaching here.
Bengal Tiger Studios, where I am in sunny Glendale, California, on the border of Burbank. Then
right around the corner from Clown Room.
Some guy wrote me a message, and it's so fucking funny. He's like, first time listening, I made it about 25 minutes in, and then you started saying that Roman has no charisma, and I turned it off immediately. I couldn't do it anymore because that is factually – this is what he said. It's factually incorrect that he has no charisma, and you know that because – he has long lines at the signings, he's one of the top merch sellers. So it's factually incorrect. All right?
Now, interesting.
Okay. First off, what my response to him was, dude, thanks for listening. Glad you love Roman. Keep being a Roman, Mark. That's just my opinion. Thanks for listening. Right? And then he's hit me back again being like, no, I was happy to listen. It's just that you're factually incorrect that he has no charisma. Now,
oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And I was like, first off,
wrestling as
the
facts.
Fact that I was like, dude, you are
the fact
such
of the matter is
fucking Mark. You were, and I do appreciate the listen, and I know you'll be back. But I know
he's
you're
listening
right
now. What's up? Yeah, what's up? He's obviously listening right now. Hey, what up, bro? How you doing, man?
And I encourage you, by the way, to cash in because I'm going to bring the cash-ins back next week. So you leave us a voicemail. 316. I know. Folks, come on, man. 316-530-2429. Leave us a voicemail, and I'll play it on the show. If you are this guy, don't pretend to be this guy. I don't know why I gave you this idea. But 316-530-2429. 530-2429. Blow my mind. Gabba wee.
Gabba gabba wee. Gabba gabba.
But, okay. You're such a mark to think that because Roman, who has now headlined five WrestleManias,
yeah,
okay, in 6 years, I've been at all of them, not nailed it ever, especially in New Orleans.
Yeah, 31
yeah,
now.
The kids love him because he's booked to be the fucking champion. So you're a mark to think that he's this charismatic enigma. That's
yeah.
Jeff Hardy. That's Jeff Hardy. Mm. But to me, like, he's so, – because, by the way, Jeff Hardy has no charisma either, but whatever. But you're talking about
– Enjoy the show!
That does not – you do not have charisma because you have – kids lined up for your autograph when you're the champion of WWE. You're the guy. No one gets to beat you ever. You're literally the big dog, the top guy. You got to retire Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you're going to be over in that way. What are you talking about? That doesn't mean that he's this charisma magnet. I mean, he's had 6 years. He's cut zero memorable promos. Zero. Zero. Literally zero. The only promo he had that was memorable was the night after he retired The Undertaker. And he said,
too.
This is my yard now, after 10 minutes of booze.
Yo, probably one of the – honestly, I
was
in the
building.
One of the – you were there? Were you booing? How loud were you booing?
Me? I have video of it. You want to see it? I'll send it to you. Of course I have video. It was so fucking awesome. It was. I'm there at every Raw after WrestleMania. You kidding me? You think I'm not at the Raw after Manias ever? What do you think
I am?
You at
the Raw after Mania this year? Well, not this year. What, in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. I think I couldn't make it. I was.
Of course
at,
I was. We had a box. We had a box in the Barclays Center.
Yeah, I was supposed
Undertaker
to go.
Showed up. I brought my nephews. They got to see Undertaker, Tombstone, Elias.
Yeah,
I got to walk with him.
Where is Elias?
I mean, I don't know. He's walking somewhere. Listen, folks. Many people are saying this, but So, yo, do you think that Roman has charisma?
Charisma? I don't know.
Right, he has some, but I said he has no.
I mean,
right?
I think he commands the attention of a room when he walks in, right? I think when he walks in, people are like, whoa.
I think actually Roman, we've seen him in interviews. He's like actually a relatively cool guy, just not on camera, right?
Yeah, I like when he called out Randy, right? Didn't he just recently in a video or something? Like, he just did it.
Oh, it was so fucking lame. So let's go. All right. I don't know what – this is the AEW NXT centric. We'll get back to your questions, but, okay. Randy posted the king of 2020, the best wrestler of 2020. It's not even close. Is Randy Orton, king of quarantine. Obviously, that apex predator, that snake would thrive when the world is down. But Randy Orton, Roman came back. Randy Orton tweeted out a picture of Brian, the dog from Family Guy, when he gets the fake teeth. And he said, I'm happy to see the big dogs back with this shiny pearly whites with the sparkle on the tooth.
Jesus.
Right? And then he said, like, nay, like a horse or whatever. Fucking asshole. It was great. I loved it. And then Roman put out a video just like – it was so lame of him. It was like in his gym and the video was like, yo – it's so lame. It's like, hey, like people, the reason you got to talk about me is because people aren't talking about you. Like, I think that's what it was. And then Randy Orton replied with that same picture with a horse's grill, like a horse smile next to it. He's like the best troll heel asshole. It's just so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's really good.
All like, remember NXT, the leg slap thing is so funny? And then his punt has become just a leg slap now.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's a complete troll. He brought it back.
His kick is terrible.
He didn't remotely come. He came closer to kicking Rick in the head when the lights went out than he did the three punts that he executed on Drew this week. I mean, like, he wasn't even close on any of those things. I might have to do more with Drew bailing, but yeah.
What do you think the outcome of the tag? This is from Glenn Alexander Smith, loyal supporter, good dude. What do you think the outcome to the tag title match at All Out will be? Will Kenny turn on everyone and stand tall, or will Hangman and FTR stand tall through it all? So, I mean, we didn't really address this Hangman thing. I got to be honest.
Two beers on the bar.
Can I give you a prediction?
Yeah.
About Hangman? Based on his look, I think Hangman has a gambling problem. I think that he is drinking, and he's like, I think that he had to do it to settle a debt or something. That's where I think they're going to go. It's not that he's turning on them because he's upset with them. He's like in the hole. You know what I mean?
Wow.
That was my thought. I was like, he didn't have a view in his face where he like did it and then made an angry face. He was like kind of disappointed in himself.
Yeah.
He looked really tired and fucking wasted, right?
It seems to me that all signs – I mean, there were two beers on the bar, right?
Yeah.
Matt came in with his really ugly sideburns and pointed that out. Yeah. And he's like, "Were you waiting for somebody to come and drink with you? Is that what you're doing, man?" You know, and I'm like
– You hate the Young Bucks.
Fucking hate them.
Did he
so
kick them
much.
Out of – what happened with Bible study?
I just made that up. It seems like that's because the Christian.
Oh, that wasn't
fuck.
Real. You just made that up. That he said.
Yeah, the elite's Bible study. That's what it is, right? I mean, right. If I had to think of what the elite is now, it's just a Bible study group, right? Because they're Christian AS. So
I think FTR wins the titles at All Out, and then they start the Kenny and Hangman start teeing off on each other, right?
I mean, yeah,
and Hangman is an exciting feud, right?
Well, you know, if it's a gambling problem, maybe he throws the match and has FTR win. He was there when they signed the contracts. So
I
he
think
might
Kenny
be...
goes heel. I don't think Hangman goes heel. I think Hangman is a face.
Yeah, I think Hangman – well, I think Hangman's going to join with FTR. I think that's the right move. Right. I think those three together and Tully is, like, fucking awesome.
Okay.
But – I mean, at least that's what they're making you think with the two beers being there. Is it FTR pulling the strings? I think – remember when they did the contract signing when FTR joined? Hangman was there, right? And maybe he was involved in something in the contract or, you know, I mean, maybe he's pulling the strings because he doesn't want to face the Bucks. If he knew the Bucks lost, then, you know, then it would be easier for FTR to win. I don't know. I want FTR to win. I'm a mark for those guys. I mean, which one is that? Cash? He is looking yoked.
I don't know which is which. Cash Wheeler, Dax Harwood.
I'll never know.
But one of them is looking in worse shape than ever.
And
the
Cash.
Other one, Cash. But then the other one's always yoked up.
Oh, Cash is looking fucking jacked out of his mind, dude.
Yeah.
His traps, he's toned up.
Yeah,
I'm
they'll
ready
give
for those
FTR
guys.
Those titles, and then they're going to build – towards the Bucks versus FTR, which regardless of how you feel, you will be pumped for that match. They're slow playing it, and it's going to be dope. I love the Bucks. I think they're the best. But I do agree that they have not nailed any promo segments.
No.
Yeah.
They like I mean,
but their Elvis look is still like I pop for the Elvis toys.
It's fine. Let's just move on. Let's go.
Except,
to the next,
let me tell you something
question.
That rubs me the wrong way. Very small is when people are showing off their Young Bucks toys and they have them doing this towards each other when they need to be facing.
Be away.
And it bothers me because you should know. All right, last question, and then we'll head out. All right.
All right.
Because this is bonus anyway, okay? What am I going to sit here all night? I got to watch The Fiend and the fucking Thunderdome. I'm back loving The Fiend, baby.
Yeah.
I'm so excited, The Fiend. I love when Fiend is the champ, even though we're
Thunderdome changed the game. Change the game, man. We haven't seen a Fiend entrance in a while. Those Fiend entrances. Like, yeah.
That wave.
Okay. For those who don't know, I am so fucking scared of The Fiend. The shit he's doing now, the yellow eyes in the Thunderdome. First of all, I want the red mat. I want the lights out for that match, like on Sunday at Payback. Like, I need a scarier version. I don't like when The Fiend wrestles in the lights, but regular lights. But okay, anyway.
I agree. Do you think they should reserve the red lights for when he's the champion? That might be cool if he only could do it when he's the champ.
Well, I think they already kind of
I think people don't like it, but in the Thunderdome, you could do it, right?
It would look It would look sick.
I don't know. I absolutely adored the I adored the red light. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah,
I also like the projections at WrestleMania 33.
Yeah.
I like everything that the Fiend does. The only thing I don't like is when Bray becomes Fedora Bray and rambles, and he doesn't say anything.
I know what you're talking about, man.
Okay, you ready? After their win on Wednesday, who's next for Breezango? Do they start to incorporate their comedy Fashion Files-esque storytelling into feuds again, or stick to what they've been doing with just the different outfits and entrances and leave this zaniness for outside the ring? I think bring back Fashion Files, man.
100%. You cannot have a better time for them to do it. First of all, kudos to those guys. Two dudes have been around a long time. Never
hot
wore
dudes,
a belt.
Hot dudes.
Hot dudes. Gear looks great. Bods look great. They're network exclusive fucking thing. I sent it to you, right? I think.
No.
Oh, man. They're like getting interviewed backstage, and Fandango's just like in love with the title. He's like, he's like kissing it. Yeah. And he's like, hey. And he's like, what? I'm sorry. What did you say? You know, and then like Tyler Breeze is like, yeah, you heard what he said? And she's like, no. And he's like, exactly. I don't just walk off.
Fandango to me is such a star. Like the gimmick is great. It's like old school, like 80s style gimmick. It's almost what they want to give, what they're trying to give Angel Garza. Mm-hmm. And he pulls it off at a time was fucking huge. Hugely jacked. They let him beat Jericho at a WrestleMania at his debut match.
It's true.
In Giant Stadium. So like he had a
people
huge
forget
at WrestleMania 28, I think. He had a huge moment in his history. But I'm always kind of shocked they never figured out how to give him like whatever like a KO show style segment that like I feel like he has it, you know?
Yeah. In reference to who's next, I'm not really sure what's going on with the NXT tag team division right now.
What other tag teams are there?
I mean, Undisputed Era is always there, but who knows what's happening with them. Two Indian guys were doing something recently.
Yeah, I haven't seen them in a while.
They're kind of gone. So it makes me think that something is coming, like something new or maybe something's on the precipice like that we don't know about. That like will
don't
be that
see,
match.
Oh, I just thought of something. Don't you want to see Strowman and Fiend with the tag titles also?
Yes.
That would be so fucking killer. Right?
For fucking sure. Oh
Strowman
my god. Yeah.
Needs to be behind Fiend now. Like that. He's full on Swamp Fiend. He went into the fucking Swamp of Destiny and he came out as a disciple of Fiend and like he should have been. That's great. All right. Anyway, Tulo, I think we can end
what
it
else?
Here. I think we can.
Can I say something real quick? I wanted to show something actually.
Absolutely. Do you need any background music or are you good?
Do you have the weekend song? Yeah, this is fun. So I have gifts for two listeners.
Wow.
My favorite, probably, I don't want to sound biased, but two of my favorite Cal members. Emily Jane Scott and Susan Lloyd, who do so much for the pod.
Yeah.
They're
some of the glues of the glue members of the Cow community.
Emily's always on top of the merch game. Susan's always running the NXT thread now and just like two complete marks, always fighting the good fight. Original OG members, like the best of the best. So I was able to pick up a little something special. This is by, if you look her up on Instagram, her name is Marge, at M-A-R-J dot J-P-G. And she makes enamel pins. So I got them the Iconics.
Iconics.
Iconics, because they are our iconic duos. I'll be sending these to you ladies soon in the mail. Just direct message me. I mean, truly, you guys deserve this. You guys are awesome. And just a little gift for you guys. And then other than that, hey, women's wrestling, we didn't talk about it, but NXT is absolute fuego. I mean, Rhea Ripley.
What do we miss? Oh, yeah. But Rhea Ripley, what I'm saying is that if you want to go back, I said Rhea Ripley losing a Mania was great. It was too early, and now she's back, building herself up, and it's going to be really good for her. You know, I just felt like it was not. She was not ready to be near Charlotte yet. I mean, look, she could wrestle against Charlotte, but I was worried she was going to beat Charlotte at Mania. You know, that was way too soon.
And they found the groove really with the NXT Women's Division. Shotzi had a real awesome match.
Mercedes, well, she ran over Robert Stone with the title.
Oh my God, so funny, dude! Did you see the post thing where Mercedes was like clamoring for Rhea, and Robert Stone's like, "No, we want the gold for you," and like,
and Robert the other Stone girl, is very funny.
Oh, that Robert Stone brand is I know we got. I think Glenn Alexander Smith is one of Robert Stone mark. Someone's a big Robert Stone mark. And you should be there. He's one of your guys because what he's doing with the Robert Stone brand is very unique and fun. And I'm loving what's going on. But the NXT Women's Division is sick. And this is what I'm talking about, giving women opportunity. Shotzi, Mercedes, they got signed. The second they were signed, they were thrown into the fire, into the mix, and they have delivered huge. And now we have this amazing women's division again that, I hope those NXT titles go on Shayna and Nia because there's some really cool matches that can happen across all brands.
Wow. All right. Well, I agree. Shotzi, I'm not sold on Shotzi yet. I like her. I've seen her wrestle on the indies. I like the tank. I don't know exactly. She hasn't really cut any promos really, right?
She did a really awesome like vignette thing where she was on an actual real huge tank, which was pretty cool. I think she's going to have one of the next pushes. Like she's in line, like after,
I wonder why Triple H likes her. She's got a tank and
green hair.
Green.
He's a big, he loves her. He's a huge supporter of her.
Say what you will about Triple H though. He's pretty good to the female talent. It seems
someone said like it, maybe it has something to do with that. He has like three daughters and like, but like, man, they're always main eventing NXT. I mean, that was the main event this week. And, like, Dakota and Raquel give me huge Shawn and Diesel vibes. I think those two are destined for big things. Big things.
Big. All right. Well, we'll look forward to it. NXT, I believe, is on Tuesday again next week.
Tuesday, and AEW is back to Wednesday this week. So,
it is on Tuesday for the first time next week.
Yeah,
AEW's back to Wednesday, yeah. Well, is that going to – because basketball's coming back tomorrow, though, right?
Yeah. So the schedule might change. Some things might still be up in the air.
Right. They might not play, right? They're just scheduled to come back. So, I don't follow sports enough to know what's going on with that. We know wrestling will happen because wrestling stands for nothing. So, right?
Legit.
I mean, there's nothing that can happen that would make wrestling not happen. They'll wrestle in Saudi Arabia, whatever. It doesn't matter. But anyway, okay, cool. So yeah, let's check out, it's exciting stuff. By the next podcast, by next week's podcast, the next main podcast that comes out Tuesday night, Wednesday, we'll have a new NXT champion. And we'll have watched, I guess we'll just AEW, there's no title match. No, and we'll have Payback. So we'll have the Payback. We'll already have seen Payback.
We might have
a big Retribution angle. So big things happening in pro wrestling. Roman Reigns might be the champion again. We might be back on here with Roman Reigns as the champion again next week.
We're gearing up for All Out. Dude,
that'll be next Sunday.
We have wrestling coming up Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, off Thursday, SmackDown Friday, All Out Saturday. Okay. All right. I got to go get some rest. I need some sleep.
Yeah. I want everybody to gear up. Everybody get your rest. Listen. Okay. Give your significant other the talk early about how next week's a big deal. Wrestling week. And anything you need,
support the pod, and shuffle $5 around this month.
Yeah. Anything, whatever. Have the talk early. Be like, I think we should do something. I'm saying there's a thing I want to watch. I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't need to watch it. It's not a big deal. Yeah, but if it works out, I would like to watch 8 hours of wrestling next weekend.
Yeah.
If it's okay.
It's okay with you. I mean, we aren't, there's a pandemic going on.
We're not going to do anything anyway. But it's fine. I'll watch it. When you go to sleep, I'll watch it. It's fine. But it does start at 4. So if you have something that you've been wanting to do, maybe you could schedule it then.
Payback starts at 4?
For me, it starts at 4 on the U.S. Coast. Oh, I already lost you. Everybody, hey, listen. Thanks for listening to this free bonus Patreon episode on the main feed. If you dig it, you like having more content, you like me and Tulo fucking yucking it up, answering your questions about AEW NXT, dissecting it to an unhealthy degree, well, then consider giving the pod on patreon.com/comedianswrestling, $5. We do this all on our own. We are grassroots. We don't even have a studio anymore.
No.
So consider supporting the pod now. We really appreciate it. The more you support it, the more content we'll make, and there's more content to make. So thank you for listening, and tell a friend. This podcast, word of mouth, is the best way to spread stuff. When somebody tells me about something, someone told me about a podcast recently, and I listened to it more than any ads, anything we could put out. It's like your word to somebody, they trust you more. So if you dig the pod, take a second out of your day to support it. Also, rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Go right in your phone. If you haven't done that, rate us. We should have, based on our listeners, we should have way more ratings on there. So give us 5 stars on there and spread the word. Cool? Hey, cool. Everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses!
Comedians of wrestling, I listen on
Wednesday
when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.